All right, so we are going to do a little bit of a left turn today. I sent it out to a lot of you, and hopefully most of you got it in an email form about what we are going to study today. And it is, we're going to turn to a different side. Last week we started our study on gratefulness, which then we looked at thankfulness, thanksgiving. And you can understand why we are doing that as we ramp up to Thanksgiving coming up. But this one obviously is going to look at some rather ugly elements. And so I'm going to prepare you for that in advance. But I wanted to just take a quick moment to reflect back on a couple of things from last week. And some of you will remember this. I asked, what are the ripple effects of gratitude? And I had coffee yesterday with Robert Ray, and he says, I thought you were going to lose control of the class last week. There was so much input that came from that. And these are some of the things that were stated, okay? The ripple effects of being grateful is we begin to extend grace to others. We're standing out in a culture that is not grateful. It develops an inner peace for us. There's contentment to whatever my situation is. The ability to see real goodness in every situation. We encourage other people. We walk in the light. We become appealing to those who don't have gratitude. Social justice begins to develop within us, the way that we view the world. Feel like we never needed anything. Produces courage. And then Bobby Payne said, sounds like it's contagious. Call to back to the narrative of Scripture that we can live peacefully in it. Confronts us with our desires. Have to let go of some things. And then the last one was from one of our visitors that day was Jody Adams, and she said, freedom. And so it was a lengthy list of things that people just were popping off about the ripple effects of gratitude. And so I begin that as our lesson today, because unfortunately today we're going to look at ungratefulness, okay? But I have to tell you that as a member of the church staff and as a person in kind of the pastoral side, oftentimes there's things that my job requires that are very difficult, and many times there's things that make my job an absolute joy and privilege. And so when I think about gratitude, oftentimes I think about what gratitude is and what I am supposed to express. But on Thursday, I had the wonderful privilege of going to the hospital to see Chris and Amela. I got there before the birth of the child. And so I went into the labor and delivery room, and the door was shut. And I asked a nurse, I said, would you mind going in there and seeing if they're able to receive a visit from one of the pastors of their church? So they didn't know that it was me standing outside. I didn't do that on purpose. I just was trying to give something easy for the woman to say. And so Chris comes out, and he says, oh, yeah, come on in. And I walk in, and Amela starts crying. Not boo-hoo-hoo, just tears coming down her cheeks. Thank you so much for coming, Pat. And just that sense of gratitude that was there. They don't have family in town, and so that somebody that they're connected with would come. And it just had that overwhelming sense of gratitude. And this part embarrasses me. When I left, she goes, Chris, would you take a picture of me and Pat? So there she is, rather large. And there I am in the bed like this with her. And, you know, I just thought, wow. As we talk about gratitude, I don't think it was, I listened to your lesson on gratitude, so therefore I'm going to express it this way. But gratitude just comes out because it's when we understand our need and the Lord provides it in a certain way that all of a sudden our heart is filled with gratitude. And so as we talk about gratitude in that sense, you know, that's why we always come back to, if you remember last week, the root word that we looked at from Greek was charis, which is grace. which then we took back all the way to looking at the other words that had to do with Eucharista, the Greek word. And then we talked about the Eucharist and how we are then given this sense of we partake of the body of Christ. And how could that not be something that just causes us to well up with immense gratitude? All right. That's the good news. Now let's look at your handout, and I hope everyone has one. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Let me read this to us, and then I'll explain the handout. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. All right. That's quite a list, isn't it? And some of them are highly offensive. And then all of a sudden we see ungrateful in the midst of it. And it says ungrateful people, if we read the last three words of this, ungrateful people, if we just single them out, what are we supposed to do with them? Avoid them. That sounds kind of harsh. Maybe we would say, well, they have to have at least four of these things before. And so we kind of get into this mindset that it's like, we need to realize that ungratefulness is a pretty ugly thing. So before we do that and really focus on ungratefulness, I want us to look at all of the words. And you'll see Paul's warning on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side, I left blanks. It would be our justification. All right, so I'm just going to give you a hint as to what I'm looking for, and then I'm going to allow for some significant group participation today. So lovers of self, and you'll see there what the Greek word is, and loving one's self to intent of one's interest, selfish. And the word that I filled in on the right-hand column over there for lovers of self, I'm not lovers of self, I'm just being realistic. Okay? What would you all say to that word? What would be your phrase of justifying it? Okay? Okay, so it's like there's something that could be deemed as healthy about that. Self-care. Self-care, thank you.
And self-care.
Yeah, not just self-care, but, you know, how to develop your own self-esteem, self-worth, whatever it might be, okay? So we do live in a culture today that emphasizes this kind of love yourself, but this, when it says lovers of self, is really taking it to selfishness, okay? And so we see here, lovers of money. Here's mine. I'm just being practical. Got to take care of things, you know. Money makes the what? The world go round. Okay? What would you all say? Lovers of money, how would we justify that?
Everybody needs it.
Okay, I work hard and what?
Deserve.
Wow. Everything's
expensive.
Yeah.
I just need to be comfortable and responsible.
Yeah, I just need to be comfortable, and then responsible comes in. Wow. You see how we begin to shift things so that we can feel okay about it. All right. Proud. My word that I put, I'm confident, man. What else would y'all say? Proud. Yes, okay. Yeah, I'm not proud. I'm just important. I mean, take a look at my title. Yeah, Brandon?
Winning?
Yeah, okay. So there's an element of winning that might say there.
Successful.
Yeah, successful. Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry, say it again, Krista.
Living
the American dream. Yeah, thank you. All right, let's go to the next one. Arrogant.
Unafraid.
Unafraid, yeah. Say it again.
Entitled.
Entitled, uh-oh. Confident, that's the word that I put down. Yeah, I'm not arrogant, I'm just confident. Okay, all right. And then we get, I'm sorry, under arrogant, actually, I had self-assured, okay? Just self-assured, all right? Okay, abusive. Now we're getting into some harder ones. What do y'all think about abusive?
Mean?
Mean-spirited? Julie?
Better than
someone? Yes, okay. I heard something over here.
Truthful,
okay, yeah. So I put direct.
I just say what I
think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell it like it is. Thank you. You know, you begin to see how some of these cliches permeate our culture and they can justify a lot of things, okay?
Oh,
you make me? You made me this way. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Woo. I know what's best for you and it's what's best for me.
Okay, I know what's best for you and that ends up being usually what's best for me. Okay. Justified. Okay.
Deserved it.
Yes. Okay. Disobedient. This one says actually disobedient to their parents, but what would you say about just disobedient in general? Randy?
Living my own life.
Yeah. That's kind of mine. I put down free-spirited. I'm not disobedient, I'm just free-spirited, man. Okay. What else?
Independent.
I know better.
Rights,
choice. Woo. Okay, I missed it. What was it?
You don't know my parents.
You don't know my parents. That's right. As you say that with little Kyle sitting in your lap. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's good. Okay, disobedient. Now here we come to our word that we're going to look at in just a little bit, ungrateful. How do we justify that?
Self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient. Okay. If you'll give me just a second, I think you'll see where I'm going. Yeah, what I'm going to end up doing is when we get here the side, we're going to look at, wow, I am justifying more of this behavior and living in the midst of it more than I realize, and because I have a tendency to call it things that it's really not. Okay, so under ungrateful, I put high standards. All right. I've got really high standards. Therefore, you know, your little thing is nice, but, okay. I'm going to come back to you, Kristen. I saw Kathy.
Well, I was going to say essentially the same, high expectations.
Yes, high expectations, high standards, okay.
I deserve.
Back to I deserve. Kristen?
It may be a stretch, but I'm a victim.
Okay. All right, so therefore, I deserved it.
I can be ungrateful for
that. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Okay, so if you have a victim mentality, okay, I can appreciate that.
If we didn't come up with a justification for each one of these, that would mean that we're not guilty of any
of them. That's right.
We're guilty of all of them.
Okay, so JL is taking on from where Diane was talking about. It's like if we don't justify these, and we have to kind of acknowledge we may be guilty of them, and that's what we're trying to take the veneer off and look at them for what they are, and then we're going to hopefully see it in such a way that really produces the desire to change on a deeper level. Okay, So the next one is unholy.
Nobody's perfect.
Okay. You're kind of fast with that one, Max. What else do y'all think? Unholy?
Rational,
rational could be.
Cheap grace.
Cheap grace. I put down here, I just like to press the envelope. You know, it's kind of like I'm going to bump up to the edges of it. Yeah, look, we start to compare ourselves with other people. It's like, you think I'm unholy? Woo-hoo, look at JC. Okay, heartless. Brandon?
Nobody else cares, so why should I?
Okay, nobody else cares, so why should I? Oh, my gosh, brother. Yeah, Heidi?
Well, I have enough to take care of. I have to take care of myself.
Yes, okay. So we get consumed with self, and with takes over for us. Nobody else cares.
Disciplined?
Disciplined?
Business world, someone who's heartless.
Okay.
Disciplined.
That's really scary when an attorney says that, you know? Yeah. Okay. But you're exactly right. Yeah, that's right. I'm able to remove myself and see this the way I need to. Yeah, Ryan? Okay, yeah. Okay, so there's a... We can become jaded. Okay, James?
And you can take responsibility for their decisions.
Okay, so it's like other people should take responsibility for their own behavior. Right, okay. Say it again, JC? Yeah, they put themselves. They need to make their bed up, whatever, okay? All right. Unappeasable. We'll speed up here a little bit. Unappeasable. When you're right, you're right. Okay, yeah. I put down there just, I'm not unappeasable. I just pursue excellence. Okay, all right. Back to the high standard kind of thing. That's exactly right. Okay, slanderous. Ugh. Telling the truth. That's the one I wrote down there too. So, okay. Okay, sharing prayer requests. All right. Okay. All right, without self-control. I put down independent.
Free-spirited.
Yeah. Living the life.
I can stop whenever I want to.
Wow, good. Brutal.
Truthful.
Yeah, I put honest down there, and that's already been mentioned up here.
Tough.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
This is for your own good.
Yeah, this is for your own good. Okay, yeah. Not loving good.
In the world, but not of it.
Okay, yeah, I like that. I'm selective. Okay, let's go to the back page now. Treacherous. I got to protect myself. Looking out for who? Number one, baby. Yeah, okay. I put wise down there.
Whistleblower.
Say it again.
Whistleblower.
I still can't hear you.
Whistleblower.
Whistleblower, okay. All right, yeah. All right, reckless.
Courageous.
I like that. Timothy, I'm going to let you answer reckless.
Everyone else is boring.
Everyone else is boring. Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's right. Okay. It's good to take risks. Do you like her answer? It's good to take risks? Yeah.
It's not a risk if you're good
at it. That's right. Yeah. There we go. That's right. It's not bragging, it's truth. You see how they begin to all play on each other now. Okay, swollen with conceit. I put confident, which we've already kind of touched on previously. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. God wants me to be happy. Yeah. Yeah. God made it so we can enjoy it. Okay. What's that? Yes, being judgmental. Okay. We turn it around on somebody. Woo. Okay, and then the last one. having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. It's a tough one, isn't it? Okay, so let me just say that. So he's saying it. He's setting him up with all these things, and then he's saying it can have all the appearance, but not with any power to it. Okay. And then I heard Camille talk about spiritual. Okay, Bobby.
God helps those who help themselves.
God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. Whew.
It's good for business.
It's good for business. Yeah, Brandon.
Relevant.
Relevant. Okay. All right. So y'all see a lot of things on there, and it's kind of scary in my mind to see how we can minimize this kind of behavior up here, and then what we come back to at the end is Paul says, hey, we're to avoid such people as this. Okay, and I appreciate that. We never want to overlook the context, and yet I don't want to also avoid looking at this from a pretty direct thing. Okay, now, unfortunately, the Greek word there actually can say to avoid or shun, okay? And there are certain elements of or denominations where the word shun is really big. And it's kind of like, it is a almost as a holier than thou kind of thing. And I think what we're wanting to make sure here is that we realize that this is more of a protective kind of thing. I need to avoid them in order to what? Say that again, Meredith. To pursue holiness, JL.
To not let them affect you.
Yeah, not let them infect me, you know, in that sense. Okay? And so it's like we need to be aware of this. And I think sometimes that we can begin to minimize some of these things and not realize the impact that they can have on us. And then how we can begin to justify our own behavior in ways that says, I'm not sure that I'm really living this out. So, okay. Brady?
What he doesn't say is to attack these things. In other words, he's not saying be defensive about it.
Yes.
He's not saying go and point these things out or deal with these people.
Okay. Yes, thank you. So he's being realistic about that, and he's saying, you know, I'm not telling you to avoid the or to attack these people, but I am telling you to be cautious around them. Okay, Lainey?
Isn't it the same idea as when the Israelites were going into Canaan? I mean, you're supposed to wipe out those cities because of the influence that they would have on you. So I mean, that's the extreme, but the purity was what he was after for his
yeah,
people.
That's right.
So they were to be killed and everything else.
Yes. So we talk about purity there, and so then we talk about how that begins to impact how we live our daily lives. So let me take Emily, and then I need to wrap that part up. Go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking, too, that it's not just avoid these people, but avoid those tendencies in your own self.
Yeah.
Where you're willing to twist it or retell the story.
Yes, I think we've got to acknowledge that sometimes it's like, wow, I see these things in my life. Now what am I going to do about that? And then I come back to the thing that he also tells, Paul uses the phrase, of the word avoid in several different places. He tells us to avoid foolish controversies. He tells us to avoid talk about, you know, genealogies and all these kind of things. And he says, avoid being quarrelsome. And it's like, wow, he keeps telling us that there's things that we need to be sensitive to as opposed to, I'm concerned that we can become incredibly lackadaisical, all right? And lackadaisical meaning, you know, it's kind of like, it's all good. I'm living my life. They're living theirs. I'm going to try to have an impact on them, but I'm not realizing that there's the danger that they could have an impact on me. Just a second. My daughter is living in a Muslim country. She is very intent, she and her team, at having an impact on the Muslim people there. Guess what? The two closest girlfriends that she's developed a relationship are as intent about helping her see the need to become a Muslim as much as she is seeing them to become a Christian. And so you begin to realize it's like there is a war out there that we're in the midst of, and how do we live every single day? And so Camille, I might have to, if you'll let me just pass by this real quick, okay? So we have this situation now where we're looking at the word gratitude. And in the midst of this, it says, look out for people who are ungrateful. All right? And that, I have to be honest with you, kind of scares me that it shows up on this list. Because I realize a lot of these I might readily identify in others and in myself, mostly in the movies, though, you know. But I realize that there are places where it's like, wow, I had no idea how an ungrateful heart or ungrateful spirit could cause it to show up on a list here with all these other things. And so let me just ask you all, why is it that ungrateful shows up here? Doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Why does it show up here? Meredith?
It's very related to many things on the list.
Okay, Meredith says it's very related to a lot of things on the list. Greg? It's a reflection of what, brother? Okay.
To me, what you're talking about is a vast majority of our society.
Yes, okay. So he says it's a commentary on a vast majority of our society. All right, I saw it. Emily?
It's a barrier between you and God.
Okay, it can be a barrier between you and God. Baker?
If you're ungrateful, I think because you did it yourself, I don't need to be grateful.
Yes.
I did it myself.
Okay, all right. And I can be ungrateful because there's a symptom that says I did it myself and I don't realize who he is and what he's done for me. Okay, Kathy?
And I so agree. I think it's when we take our, when we don't remember that everything we are given, everything comes from God.
Yes.
Our breath, everything.
Thank you. So if we fail to remember that everything comes from God, it becomes very easy for us, doesn't it, to become, we may not say ungrateful, we're just nonchalant. But I have to tell you, I'm afraid that there's not much difference between nonchalance and being ungrateful. And what I want us to realize is, last week we talked about the ripple effects of when we are grateful, what happens, and it was so sweet. And so now I have to ask you, what are some of the ripple effects of ungratefulness? You have it on the board, Peggy says. Okay, I appreciate that. It's true, but let's talk about it as it relates just to someone who's ungrateful. Foster?
Forgetting that everything we are and everything we have is not anything that has to do with what we've done.
Okay, so it's that whole thing of forgetfulness that begins to occur within us. Okay, love that. Brandon?
Well, it also leads to when trials and tribulation or bad things happen, we're like, this didn't happen because of A, B, C, and ultimately, you know, it can lead to hating another person,
yeah,
a boss, a relationship, or even God.
Yes.
It's not so much, it's when you're ungrateful, but it's when you switch into why I didn't get whatever.
Okay, so it's easy step from going, I'm being ungrateful, to beginning to ask the why question. Okay, Dave? I love that. All about us. I like that. I mean, I hate to admit that, but it's all about us. And then it's this whole thing of, and what occurred wasn't enough, and therefore I'm unhappy. Okay, Ryan?
I think the ripple effects quickly become anger and bitterness.
Wow. So Ryan says the ripple effects quickly become anger and bitterness towards other people, in other people, okay? And I would say also towards other people, okay? Ashley? Yes. So let me try to unpack that, because Ashley just said a ton there, okay? Is that it begins to impact our view of God. And we begin to view him as a withholder instead of someone who pours out. That we see him as someone who doesn't give me what I need and want because I'm the one who's determining that, as opposed to being able to continue to see him through the lens of what Scripture tells us and what we've been looking at as we've gone through a lot of the words that we've looked at, his sovereignty, his care, his grace, the forgiveness he's poured out upon us, all those kind of things. And now it's like, nope, right here, you failed me. Okay? All right. So let me take what I heard you say, and you can correct me, but there's a little bit of you that says, when this happens, it sets us up for all the other things to easily happen as well. It can be a catalyst. All right? That may be a slight overstatement. Maybe each and every one of these could have the same trigger effect, but I love what you're saying here is that this could be the trigger to the rest of these. That's a great thing, and I encourage people to do that. Yeah.
It really gives you a clean vision.
Thank you. We need a gratitude list that keeps us current with how God's been good to us, and then we need community around us who's reminding us of those things, even in the midst of our difficulties. Okay? So, you know, Christy, I'm sorry you're such an easy target with this, but, you know, it's kind of like, how do we express gratitude for a brain tumor, you know, and all. And it's kind of like, wow, you got me there, Pat. And we could go, well, thankfully you caught it early. We're grateful for that. But we begin to realize that there's things that's not just on the surface, but it's down deep here. And my guess is you and Brady both and your family, your intimate family, have learned a deeper sense of dependency upon a holy God. Is that fair to say? Yeah, you know, and in there's something sweet about that. And then if we take it to the next step, we could go, wow, how do we as a community come alongside? And how does the story of the sparks begin to impact our story and our life? And how does it begin to cause us to be not ungrateful, but grateful? And not grateful like, whew, glad I'm not the one.
Oh, not that way.
But a gratitude that says, Lord, I see your hand in the midst of this. And I trust you as being a good and great God. And I'm willing to continue to trust in you, despite the fact that, as you said, Meredith, you know, it's not going my way, so to speak. Okay? All right. So these are some places that we keep bumping into where an ungrateful spirit can be so significant. Is there any other place that we want to take a look at where the ripple effects of being ungrateful? Well, I need to remind you, and I appreciate you saying that, because when we talked about the ripple effects of gratitude, contentment was one that someone brought up here, being able to live in the midst of our circumstances. It's living in the present. And gratefulness allows us to be able to live in the midst of our current circumstances with a contented heart, as opposed to when this happens, when this happens, when this happens. Wow. Yeah, I hope everybody could hear that, which is it begins to impact our worship. It's hard to go into worship and have a true spirit of worship when there's an ungrateful heart that's there. Instead, when there's that grateful heart, it's easy to connect up with worship, because that is a component of worship, is expressing our gratitude to him as well as our awe and wonder. Okay, so thank you. Ryan? Sorry. Let me get Diane first, okay?
I was just going to say, we recently studied Ruth.
Yes.
And in it, Naomi was unthankful, and she became bitter.
Yes, okay. Thank
and
you.
We see that.
Yes. So she mentioned going back to our study of Ruth and the book of Ruth, and we looked at Naomi, and it said she was bitter because things didn't go her way. And so I can appreciate that. Ryan? No question that ungratefulness can impact our relationship, and gratefulness can impact it just in completely different ways. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so let me try to help us land the plane here if I can. So I do want to just take a step back up on our handout here. Our typical response to these kind of people, once we go through the justification of them, I think there's a part of us that we seek after them. We think that they are the kind of person that, you know, they're fun. We want to be with them, and it's lively or whatever it might be. We could idolize them, or there could be some element of jealousy about them. And I think it's a call back for us today to say, you know, let's not look at them from this side of the list. Let's look at it from this. And let's look at our own hearts to make sure that these things aren't within us. And if they are, how do we confess them to a holy God and ask for change and transformation in our own hearts? Okay, so this whole thing that we come to, one of them is being ungrateful. And, you know, I can't just sit here today and say that simply making a gratitude list is going to change this whole thing. It's a good one, but it falls short because it's a behavioral modification thing. It's getting you to do something thinking that it's going to change it down here. And I hope that you all have heard what it is that draws us to having a grateful heart as opposed to an ungrateful heart. It's seeing what has already been done for you. It's seeing God back in the light of one who loves you, who is sovereign, who is moving in the hearts and lives of people, and he is willing. We looked at suffering. He's willing to take us through suffering in order to produce something deeper. He's jealous for us. I could go through all these kind of things. We've got to be called back to who God really is in order for us to be able to see why I don't have a grateful heart or how I can remove an ungrateful heart. And so there's some questions here that I ask. And I'd like for y'all to take these home and begin to do some work underneath all of this. And it's like, what do we prefer to call ungratefulness? Well, we've already kind of talked about that. What are the causes of being ungrateful? I think you all have done a good job at that. I would ask you all as a group right now, just to give this thought, what is at the core of ungratefulness? What do you think is at the core? Greed? That's an interesting perspective. Ryan, I'm going to have to net us out here. Yeah, I love where Beverly went with that, which is that if there is a fear of death, and you remember we've talked about our hope is in the certainty of heaven. And there was that beautiful concept that we can look forward to heaven with that great certainty and have hope. And then, you know, Scripture tells us the importance of hope. And so we come back to how do we have a sense of hope? And when that hope is connected, rightly connected, there is a deep sense of gratitude that emanates from that. All right, and so let me just read the last three questions. Why is ungratefulness included in this list? Are there areas of your life where you are more prone to be ungrateful? What are the ripple effects? And then what is the antidote? We've covered a lot of this in here today. I really want to encourage y'all to go home and think back through these things. Let's not leave this particular lesson without a full understanding of why ungratefulness is on this list and how dangerous it is and how we can begin to become more grateful in our hearts and lives in our expression of that to a holy God. And then I have to tell you all, I believe it begins to overflow to other people as well. I love that. That yes. I would agree. And I don't want to minimize the gratitude list that Camille was saying. There is that element that it brings forth to us. It's like, I do have more things to be grateful for. And it does take some things that we might have been ungrateful for and move them over to the grateful list. Okay? All right. I was just thinking about your statement, fearing death, in the Grateful Dead. You know? How about that? Let's close in prayer. Sorry. All right, Lord, we do thank you just for the privilege of really looking at this. And I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters, for the journey you've called us to. And I pray, Father, that our hearts and lives would be one that is characterized by a deep, deep sense of gratitude. And it would start with you, and it would end with you, and it would enhance our worship of you, O Lord. And for that, I give you thanks. I pray, Father, for your peace, your power, and your protection to be upon my brothers and sisters as they go about this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.